Well, you know what? We've got a smart aleck back there in the back somewhere. Steve. Steve, I know somebody else who could be your brother I dealt with this week. God is doing wonderful things in our lives. It doesn't matter what you think you see. It's about what God has already put into process. I don't know why I'm starting that way today, but I just want you to hear me when I say God has something planned for you that's far better than you've ever imagined. And because we've come together in this hour, this time, we understand that God is putting us together, unifying His body to do a great work in what I would consider the greatest point in history. Because we're pointing now, not looking from the back side of the cross, we're looking at the front side of the cross. We're moving toward His kingdom, amen? And as we move toward His kingdom, great things are about to happen for us all. And, you know, I appreciate this room today. They put me in here, so, hey. So next week we may be here, we may be down there. I think it doesn't matter. Wherever we are, find us. Oh, that's right, next week we're not here. Remember that. Next week we'll not be here, but we'll be back for Kingdom First Sunday on September the 7th, I believe it is. So don't forget that. I'll try to remind you on Facebook or whatever. And you can remind your friends also. But you do, I forgot we could use those doors, Pastor Mike. That's good. Try to say something nice about him. What do you do? I appreciate those that have come to me and spoken to me about the messages in the last few weeks of how it's impacted their lives. It's impacted my life. And let me tell you something. We need the Word of God. We don't need another song. I love it, but we don't need another song. We don't need another fellowship dinner. We don't need another social. We need, let me say it again, we need the Word of God. That's what we need. So today, in this series, Wide Awake, and I think that's what it is. Yeah, Wide Awake. Today's message title will be Fully Alive. Say that back to me. Fully Alive. Fully Alive. I want to deal with this subject very carefully. I'm not going to try to rush through it and go real fast because you have nowhere to go today anyway. The anchor scripture that I'll mention several times as I go forward is John 10:10. In the New International Version, it says this. Everybody keep your eyes on me. Don't worry about who's coming in. The Word's more important than anything else. John 10:10 in the NIV. The thief comes. Make no mistake, he's coming. If you think he's not going to come, you've made a grave error. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But then he says, Jesus speaking, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Abundant life. Yes. Have it to the full. Everybody say, I want that full life. So this morning I looked very good. I got up very early this morning. That's not uncommon. This whole week I've been getting up, sometimes at 4, sometimes at 5. I was awake at 3:30 this morning. But as I looked over this scripture again, I looked at the word thief. The thief comes. And by definition, the thief is something or someone who steals another person's property, especially, watch this, especially by stealth and without using force or violence. Now, let me tell you, if that does not define our enemy of our soul, it clearly defines he's going to move in your life in with stealth. Doesn't have to be violent because he'll talk to you when you don't want to hear him. And at your lowest moment, he'll give you instructions. He'll try to tell you how to live your life, how you need to do things, how wrong you've been. He'll never tell you how right you've been. He'll always point you to how bad you've been. But get it in your mind. You say, well, I'm a Christian now. I love Jesus, and I stand on his promises. The verse still stands. The thief comes. Just when you least expect it, bum, 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 here he comes. And he'll wreck your life if you listen to him. Do not give him credence. Do not give him room. Do not give him room to speak into your life. I've given him room before to speak, and I know God, but I've allowed the door to open up to listen to some of his mess, and all it does is bring you into despair and despondency. He tried to do that with me when we were dealing with our other physical facility. He tried to deal with me, and I said, wait a minute. God has said. You got to point him back to what God has said. So I want to say today, we can be fully alive. Say it back again. And understand, this is not about just survival. This is not just surviving or managing your life that I'm talking about today. Because God wants you to be fully alive. Not only awake, but fully alive in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit. He doesn't want you to have half life. How many of you would like to buy something and then say, well, it's only got a half life left? No, you want the full life, not a half life. Jesus didn't endure the cross. This is things you need to mark down. Jesus didn't endure the cross so you could limp through life on a spiritual life support. Just give me my spiritual life support. I just got to make it to church this week. If I can just make it one more time to church, I can get on my spiritual life support, and that'll pump me back up. That's not what this is about. You should be pumped up before you get here. You should be ready to worship God. You should be ready to hear the word. You should already defeated the enemy. Because, mark it down again, the thief's going to come. Look, Pat Spivey fell again today. Coming out her door, right on her face. You understand the thief is going to try to steal your joy. Steal your participation. Try to keep you out of a place of healing like he did with Terry last week. And it is with Virginia this morning. Huh? No, Virginia. Virginia was, you don't mind me saying this, do you? She came in and was having AFib. And I speak in the name of Jesus, you're not going to have it. Just like Terry's going to overcome it, you've overcome it. But understand, the thief comes that way. I know that every morning I get out of bed, I said, here comes the thief. Because he's there. He gets to me before I can get into my kitchen. He's already there. Go to the bathroom, he's there. You say, well, but Jesus is there too. Yeah, but you've got to lean on that word. You've got to lean on the word of God. He will not bow to you. You can holler, you can scream, you can cry, you can pout, you can jump up and down, and the devil will not move until you say, thus saith the Lord. It's the thus that changes the scenario. I'm just happy today. Can I be happy? Just looking at y'all make me happy. And when I tell somebody I love them, I mean that. I love you guys. You know why? Because we're partners together for the kingdom of God. You've partnered with me, and I've partnered with you, that we're going to make a difference. Somehow, we're going to make a difference. So God wants you fully alive. Everything he went through was so that we would come off of this life support, that what the world has offered. He's offering something far greater than that. As a matter of fact, he came so we could live with full joy, full purpose, and full strength that overflows. So much so, when you walk in a room, people will say, something's different about that person. Something's unique about that person. And I've lived that this week, because when I walk into a place, I don't know what it is, but everybody likes me. And I'm not a likable person. So it has to be Jesus in me. It has to be Jesus. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Me thinking about this, Deb, when I think about what Jesus has done for me and the joy he's trying to give me and the purpose that he's put before me and the strength that's overflowing, but here is the tension. You ready for this? Here is the tension, and therein lies the rub. Here it is. Many are breathing, even in here today. Many are breathing, but they're not living. Breathing, but not living. Turn to somebody and say, you need to live. So there's some things, Mike, you need to really live, son. That's right. What does life to the full really mean? You need to ask yourself this question. What does life to the full really mean to me? You need to identify that. Hopefully, before we're ended here today, you're going to realize what those things are. What does living like a new car? Really? Because that new car will one day get... Thank you! You're preaching with me now. I'm in the right house. You get a new house, and one day that new house is going to need gutters, going to need paint, going to need all kinds of stuff. You want a new relationship, but one day, well, no, I'm telling you, if that's what you're banking on, I've got to have a new one. One day it's going to be an old one, and you'll be looking for another new one. Excuse the vernacular. Looking for a new one. A new side piece. That's just fact. Am I telling the truth or not? Do y'all want me to limp around this or tell the truth? The truth of... Say what? That's just what the truth is. That enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you, when you understand he's going to come, he's going to hit you in these areas. And you can't live life fully living under his authority. You cannot do that. So ask yourself the question, what does life to the full really mean to me, Randy Harris? What does it really mean, Valerie? And then what part of my life have I kept God out of? Because you guarantee you, you'll think of that one. Because we want God to take everything except this one little thing. But I want to look at what really true life means by definition. Not dictionary, by my definition. True life, real aliveness, begins at the place of surrender. I surrender all, Lord Jesus, all to thee I surrender. I lay it all down. I lay my fears down. I lay my disappointments down. I lay my failures down. Even my own ambitions and goals I lay at the cross. I surrender all to you, Jesus, my blessed Savior. Today I choose, watch this, today I choose to stop living only for myself and step fully into your life, Lord Jesus. In you. In who? In you I find the life I was always meant to live. What kind of life did we have outside of Jesus? I heard people say, man, I did better off before I met Jesus. No, you didn't. You did not. Most of y'all, well, I don't want to tell you what you did, what you would have done last night. But Jesus came as the enemy comes, Jesus comes. And Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So I'm not looking for the thief, I'm looking for the Jesus. I'm not looking for the pain he brings, I'm looking for the gain Jesus brings. The thief offers something though. Oh yeah, he's got something to offer. It's called, Pastor Mike, the counterfeit life. And he'll offer you the counterfeit life, my God, but he'll never offer you the abundant life. He can't do that. That's not his nature. He cannot offer you the abundant life, only the counterfeit life. So let's look at that for a moment. The thief, the enemy, specializes, I want to make it clear, he specializes in bringing to you a counterfeit life. That's his specialty. As a matter of fact, I wrote a song back in my band days. It said, the grass is always greener in the other man's field. Have you ever driven down in a country road and watched horses or cows? They're sticking their head through barbed wire, eating the same grass that's on their side, but they think it's better over there. And that's what my song was about. The water is much sweeter over there. The grass is much greener over there. I go through it in my song. But the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, all I've done is tangle my neck in the barbed wire. Trying to get a little bit of that grass that's always greener. The counterfeit life. Here's what the enemy will do in this. He'll keep you busy. So he'll say, you stay busy. As long as you stay busy, as long as you stay entertained, which that's the problem I have with some churches today. They keep you busy and entertained. I told my wife that coming to church today. I said, I'm going to tell you. People have lost the desire. This is exactly what I said to her. They've lost the desire for the Word of God. What they want to be is entertained. I used to do it, so I know how to do it. I could do it now. I could put it together. I can entertain your socks off. You think, man, this is great. I'm going to go out and get me a beer. This is good stuff. I'm telling you the truth. But the truth of the matter is, if it's not based on the Word of God, we've got a problem. And people don't want the Word of God any longer. They want to be just entertained in life. Staying busy. I want to stay busy. Look, just because you go to church and stay busy don't mean you're saved. A matter of fact, let me change that. You may be saved, but you're not complete. You're not walking in that kingdom lifestyle. How many people want to live in the kingdom lifestyle? That's God's domain. Okay. So he'll keep you. As long as you stay busy, you stay entertained, and you stay distracted, as long as you never, he'll go along with it, as long as you never truly come alive in Christ. He'll let you do what? He'll grow the crowd. He'll make the applause. He'll make your life just wonderful, beautiful, and sweet smelling and all that good stuff as long as you leave Jesus out of it. Am I telling the truth? So you can't be fully alive, though, until you walk fully into Jesus Christ. That's why I said you must surrender all. The abundant life, see, here's where we get messed up. Well, Bishop, I'm a Christian. I'm not living in the abundant life. Why? Don't have a new car. Don't have a new house. Can't buy new clothes. Well, you know what? You can buy everything else. The abundant life is not about having more stuff. Well, if I had more stuff, I'd have the abundant life. The abundant life is not about having more stuff. It's about having more of Him. Yes. That's the abundant life. When you've got more of Him, you got more of them. That's just fact. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things you have need of. But we don't want to seek first the kingdom of God. We want to seek first Alan, or seek first Daniels, or seek first Damon, or seek first Mike, because he's always seeking for himself. And see? And as long as you do that, you'll never come fully alive in Jesus Christ. You just never will. I don't care if it's me. I don't care if it's the Pope. Matter of fact, most of those people in hierarchical positions don't even know Jesus. Boy, I just said a mouthful there and there. Hope you caught it. There's a lot of people that wearing robes and walking around with their scepters looking like priests and whatever. They don't even know the Jesus of the cross. I heard a mainline preacher say this week, I mean, you'd know his name. He draws great crowds. But I heard him being questioned by, I forgot that guy's name, Mike can usually tell me because he thinks ahead. but he was a commentator, and he's dead now. But anyway, he asked this young man at the time, Larry King. He said, is there only one way to heaven? And he said, well, not really. He said, I don't like to see it that way. He said, there's, you know, everybody has an opinion. And I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm listening to this guy that draws huge crowds saying there's other ways to get to heaven. When the Bible clearly says there's only one way given unto man that a man might be saved, or a woman, it's only through the salvation of Jesus Christ. How can a man say that? To me, I'd be very careful, because when I face God, he's going to say, now let's just see. What did you say? I may fail in a lot of things, but you'll never, you may catch me doing something and a sin, okay? You say, that's terrible, Bishop. Why would you say something? Because I'm human. You may catch me in a sin, but you won't catch me speaking out of turn about the Word of God. I will not do that. I will not tell you something that's not true about the Word of God. Are y'all clear with that? So, here's something that hit me right in the face today. The thief specializes in testing your testimony. Oh, I got to say that again, because the Lord showed me that this morning. He said, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. The thief specializing, Terry, in testing your testimony. As soon as you give a testimony, Randy, here he comes. The thief comes, going to test that testimony so that you will feel like that it was of no value and of no worth. Steve, am I right? It's just factual. So somebody says, well, you know what? I had a testimony. I gave something great to the Lord. I planted a great seed, and God blessed me, but then I lost this over here in this business deal and that business deal. Do you understand what is happening? The thief's trying to take away your joy and the promises of God. He can't, watch. Satan can't change the promises of God, right? But he can change your attitude toward them. Once he changes your attitude toward the promises, you've lost out. Am I preaching yet?
Yes, sir.
I'm really not trying to. I just want to teach you a little bit today and just love you, because I know you're going through some difficult times. But you know what? The difficult times, what hones you, what sharpens you, which makes you, the trials of our faith, it does something for us, Pastor Mike. It makes us something. God help me. So if you don't write anything else down today, write that one down, because that was given to me by the Lord. The thief specializes in testing your testimony, and he's going to do that. Just as soon as you open your mouth and you say, praise God, he's healed my body, he's going to come after you, and you're going, whoa, I thought he healed me. I thought he healed me. He did heal you, dummy. He did heal you. The enemy tests that, though. Here's someone in the Bible that thought real peace and satisfaction and joy came from having more. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures. I'm going to tell you where it is, though. Luke 15, 11 through 32. That story is about the prodigal son. The son that, a man had two sons, and one of the sons said to him, Father, I'm going to paraphrase. I'm really not happy with this lifestyle. I want my inheritance now. Now, usually inheritance comes after the man dies. But he wanted his inheritance right then and there. So he said, I want my inheritance. So the father gave him his inheritance. The Bible says, you can read this later, he took his inheritance and went off to a far-off land. You know why? He didn't want people to see him. He didn't want people to see what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. Didn't want, you know. Because his father had a reputation, I'm sure. He had a big spread. Now, he goes off into a far-off land, and there the Bible says he spent all, every bit of it on righteous living. Riotous. Not righteous. Riotous. Y'all got to hear it. Riotous. I do it like the old T.D. Jakes do. Riotous living. Y'all got that now? And spent all his money on women and drinks. Matter of fact, when he came back home, his brother, in some of the translations, said, you know, he's out there with prostitutes, Dad, and you're taking him back. But the truth behind the story, I'm not going to preach the story, but the truth of the matter is the prodigal son thought his life would be full. It would get full. He'd have a full living life. He could leave his father's house with a little bit of money. And he could do what he wanted to do. He only discovered, though, true life. Watch this. The Bible says he's in the pig's pen, eating husk, eating whatever he could get because nobody else cared for him after he did. Heck, truth here. If you don't got no money, you got no funny. Everybody loves you when you got a wad in your pocket, right, Austin? He had a lot of friends one time. Where are they now? When the money goes, oh, boy, I got something that rhymes right there, and I ain't going to use it. I am not going to use it. I'm not going to use what was going to rhyme right then. But when the money goes, all those friends are fair-weather friends. They're out of here. As long as you're buying the drinks and buying the meals, they're your friend. But as soon as that's gone, shabba-bye, baby, I'm out of here. Is that living fully? No, that's not a full life. The Bible says he came to his senses. And he realized, my daddy's servants do better than I do. My daddy's servants can have some food. They're eating. So I'm going to go home to daddy, to my father's house. Now, Jesus told this parable for a reason. He's trying to show you, you may think you can live a good life without him, but you can't. It's impossible. He only discovered true life when he came back home and fully surrendered. That's what he was teaching in that parable. To me, it's really sad to Alan Meshuggah. It's sad to me when we live our whole life and never realize our true, full potential. I don't want to close my eyes in death and me say to whoever's standing there, maybe nobody will be there, maybe I'll be by myself, I missed this. I didn't do it. I don't want to do that. That's not living life fully. Living life fully is when you lay down for the last time and take that last breath, you can say, I did it. God, I did it. What you asked me to do, I did it. And now I feel fulfilled. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I'm fulfilled. I have finished my course. What is he saying? I did all you asked me to do. Now, don't get a crime party up for me. I ain't finished my course yet. We live so beneath our potential of what we could do. And I'll just give you a little illustration. A man buys a luxury car. He buys that luxury car, but he never took it over 35 miles an hour. Because, you know why? He was afraid of wrecking it. Fear. I'm afraid to wreck my car. He had the potential under the hood to go much faster. In comfort, but he never tapped into it because he was fearful of losing what he had. Now watch this. Many of us are like that spiritually. Oh, we've got something great. God has given us power. God has given us joy. God has given us peace, but we drive in fear. We drive in fear and never go full throttle in faith. I'm afraid to go full throttle because I don't want to mess it up. He wants you to go full throttle. Many people obtain, they get things. That's, you know, we get things and we thought that things was going to make us happy, but we found out it wasn't the things we needed. Watch. Many people obtain but never really enjoy. They obtain but never really enjoy. And I thought of this illustration, which is a real one. My aunt, had two sons. My aunt, for though they're getting so proper in here, she had two sons. We were very close. But anytime I went to their house, she had in their room shelves up high. The ceiling was there. It was about 2 feet under the ceiling, shelves. And all up on those shelves were toys in boxes. And so I went in, and I was young. And I said, man, we can play with that. And he said, oh, I can't play with that. I said, why can't we play with that? Because Mama says we'll break them. Now, I could use some expletives here. I won't, because it would hurt your little virgin ears. But what in the world are you buying toys for kids that can't enjoy them because you're afraid they're going to break? You're not enjoying the potential of that gift. How would you like somebody to give you something and say, this is yours, but don't wear it? I'm going to give you this watch, but don't you wear it. What sense is there? You're not living to your full potential. God has given you something, and the devil's telling you, don't wear it. The enemy of your soul said, don't you put it on. Don't put on the whole armor of God. And don't you be happy. Don't you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Don't you praise God, and he'll do it every single time. Because he doesn't want you to move into that full potential. Everybody say, full potential. How many people want to live a life full of potential? Now, when I saw that and I remembered what she did, I said to myself, self, Christians take God's promises, they put them on the shelf, and we never access them. But we walk in and say, that's God's promise. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. There's my promise. I'm healed. It's right there. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I've got authority over death and hell. I've got all those things. And all we're doing is pointing to them, but we never access them. So you're not living life fully until you can say, salvation is mine. I'm standing on the promises of that right now. Deliverance is mine. Watch this one. Prosperity is mine. Someone said, don't be a prosperity preacher. I can't stand them. Well, I'm going to tell you, you may not stand them, and I may be, have some differences of opinion with them, but the truth of the matter is, prosperity is in the Bible. You can't prostitute it. But I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, expect to be blessed. Amen. What's wrong? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against this. Lord, I know I'm preaching the word. And your word is true. And I'm standing on your promise to touch my brother right now, Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, move in this man's body right now. In Jesus' name. Sir, take a deep breath and say, in Jesus' name, I am healed. Say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. 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 We're taking it off the shelf today, and the enemy doesn't like what I'm saying. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. 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 See, that's what makes me mad at hell. Right there, my brother. Get him some water. Say, Bishop, do you know what you're doing? I know what I'm doing. We're making hell mad at us because I'm actually telling you how to live life. He don't want me to tell you. He wants me to get you singing, shouting, and dancing and not doing nothing with it. I'm not against singing, shouting, dancing now. I'll dance with you all night long. Well, not all night. I used to. The truth of the matter is, without the Word of God and without walking in that Word and realizing what the enemy can do, you're going to lose. Touch him, Lord Jesus. Touch him, Lord. Everybody say, touch him, Lord Jesus. Touch him, Lord Jesus. Touch him, Lord Jesus. I'm not going to let anything stop us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I walk in your authority. I walk in your power. I walk in your ability. God, you've never failed me. Not one time have you failed me, God. So in the name of Jesus, I claim it. In the name of Jesus, I claim it. I claim healing right now, God. We're in your house. We're under your authority in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. So everybody, attention here. Whatever my brother needs, Pastor Michael, help. But you do understand we're not accessing what he's already provided. Aliveness begins where then surrender takes root. When it starts to take root, many things begin to change. See, people, everybody say people. People try to have control and the abundant life at the same time. And let me just go on record. You can't have both. You can't have control and have abundant life because surrender, what does that indicate to you? That you've given yourself over to God. Surrender doesn't take away, watch this, another thing the Lord pumped into my spirit. Surrender doesn't take away your life. It's where life begins. Surrender doesn't suffocate you, but brings to you life-giving breath. It doesn't suffocate you. What once was dead in your life, because of God, because of the breath of life, what once was dead can live again. Can this live again? I'm going to give you the illustration, Ezekiel 37. Not going to preach it, that, the whole, but I'm going to give it to you. Ezekiel 37, he speaks there of the valley of dry bones, and God takes him out. Ezekiel takes him out and says, oh, man of God, look, what do you see? I see a valley of dry bones. Warriors have died here. Bones just dried up. God asked him a question. Can I have some water? Where's Randy? He said, He said to the man of God, he said, can these bones live again? And what does the man of God say? I don't know, Lord. That's up to you. So the valley of dry bones, all the bones were there, weren't they? If you read it, he's looking at the bones. But they had no breath. The Lord kind of showed me. He could see, the prophet Ezekiel could see. He could see what once was. He's looking at what once was. Sometimes we get caught up in looking in our life of what once was. What once was will get you into trouble. You'll not live your full life looking at what once was. I need what is, not what was. The bones of what was needed the breath of what is. Get that now, because you got some bones in your life. The bones of what was needed the breath of what is. The I am. God's Spirit brought them to life, just like he said to the prophet. Not just to exist, but they became a mighty army, which he was speaking about Israel. But nevertheless, he gave him this illustration, this vision, so he'd know it could live again. We need today, right here in Marietta, Georgia, at the Hilton, we need the breath of God to truly live. We need it. Everybody say, I need the breath of God. It's a little warm in here today, isn't it? Mike, whoever, air turned on? Good. See, I'm informal. If I'm hot, I'm going to tell you. It's warm in here. Whose fault is it? Who's breathing too hard? I'll be through in about 45 minutes. No. But God's Spirit brought it back to life. We need the breath of God to truly live the full life. But what's it like, Bishop? I don't understand. You know, Steve understands this because Steve likes all the new gadgets that he don't need. But he'll buy a phone just because it's a new phone and it's got new gadgets on it. But I don't care how much many gadgets his new phone has, if it's not charged, it's useless. It's got all the gadgets, all the apps, everything you could ever want. It's right there. You can watch movies, you can Google, you can all the stuff you can do. But if it's not charged, baby, it ain't gonna work in your hand. You see, the Spirit of God is our charger. And if we don't have that, we have all the apps, we have all the knowledge, we have all those things, but we've not activated through the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by that, Bishop? Without Him, without Jesus, we have all the hardware, but no power. But I can quote scriptures. Yeah, let me tell you who else can. The devil can quote them better than you, but there's no power in it. Fully alive means whole life transformation. Everybody say whole life transformation. What does that mean to me? It means with my body, I will honor God with my health and my energy. I'll honor God with my health and my energy. Say that back to me. That's your body. I'll honor God with my mind. I'll say it. Because Romans 12:2 says, I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So my mind will be renewed. Then I will also be transformed in my spirit. Well, how does that work? Let me just tell you how that works. John 15, verse 5. I'm going to stay connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ. That's what the vine, John 15 talks about. He says, I'm the true vine. We have to stay connected to Jesus. Everybody take a deep breath. We're all right. We're going to make it. In Mark 10, verse 46, I'm relying on y'all looking these things up later for your own studies. But there's a man called blind Bartimaeus. He was blind, but Jesus comes by and he says, oh, have mercy on me, O son of David. Have mercy on me. Well, guess what Jesus did? He had mercy on blind Bartimaeus. And he healed him of his blindness. Now, here, he didn't just get his sight back. He followed Jesus. He didn't just get healed and say, thank you, Lord, I got healed today at the church service, and I'm in here, out of here, and I'm going to Cancun. No, he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. Now, here's the miracle of all that. The miracle wasn't just about his vision. It was about living with purpose. He followed Jesus. He was living with purpose and on purpose. You know, some people get heart surgery. I have a friend that I wrote him yesterday. He's a pastor in Washington State. It's a miracle. He needed a heart. The doctors told him he was going to die if he didn't have a new heart, which they said it'll be years for you to get a heart. But God caused him to get a heart within just a few days. Think about that. So whenever he got that heart, if somebody gets a new heart, you say, man, I got a second lease on life. A second chance. Spiritually, salvation is God giving you a brand new heart. Now, don't waste it on just existing. Don't waste it on just existing. Well, if I was treated better, if people just treat me with some respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They didn't treat Jesus with respect. They spit in his face. They beat him so that you couldn't even recognize him. And we want respect. In this world, there will be no respect. But let me tell you, there's coming a day where we're going to stand before the awesome power and might of God. And because of that, you're going to see that all the things I've said, James Burdett, I told you last week, is she here today? There you are. You know what? I thought about that. You don't mind me mentioning this. You do mind? James always was testifying, always mentioning the Lord, always forever. And the Lord spoke to me about that and said, yeah, now he's forever with me. And I know that clearly. The Lord said that to me. He's forever with me. He was just testifying. Watch this. He was just testifying to where he was going. But you never know when that time comes. But when it comes, my job is for you to be ready so you say, Bishop never lied to me. What he said was truth. And I'll guarantee you James sees that. He saw Jesus. He met Jesus. What we're working for, he saw. So why do we have services like this? So we can live the full life and get closer to Jesus. Say, Bishop, but I'm a little warm in here right now. I've actually preached to audiences before, crowds before in other countries, where I stood in this much water to preach because it was flooding. And let me tell you something. The people sat there and listened. Now, in America, we'd say, we're out of here, Bishop. Shabbat, bye, baby, we're gone. But not over there. They wanted to hear the Word of God. They were so passionate about coming to my service that when they opened the doors, and I'm not talking about a fancy place like this. It was like a warehouse. When they ran in to get a seat to get close. And someone, as they're coming in, they went for a seat and the bench kind of went forward and their foot went under it and everybody fell on it and drove that thing into their foot and they wouldn't get up. I had to get them up because they were afraid they'd lose their seat. You said, really, that didn't happen, Bishop. It really happened. And most of those people didn't have shoes on, so you know that hurt because it was a metal prong. That's how much they wanted to hear the Word of God. So, here's some questions. Let's go for it again. What does full life mean to you? Let's go through it again. And what part of your life have you kept God out of? That's important. And then ask yourself this. If I'm being honest with myself, am I truly living or am I just existing? You have to ask yourself that. Aliveness begins where surrender takes root because Jesus came to give us the abundant life. So where do I start, Bishop? I want you to ask God today to breathe new life into one of the areas, not all of them, identify it. Ask God to breathe new life into one of the areas of your life. Ask him to do it, Joanne. God, breathe life into that. I need life into this. An area that you've neglected. Ask God to breathe some life into it. Let's see if those bones can live again. Let me say this. You weren't created. The song, I like that song, created. You weren't just created or made to just make it. Well, I'm a Christian now. I pray God, I'm just waiting for him to come back. Take me home because I can just make it. I didn't get saved to just make it. I got saved to live the abundant life. Yes, yes. Now I feel the air coming in now. Thank you, Jesus. You were created, you were made to live wide awake and all in. I'm starting to close out now, so listen to me. Jesus didn't say, I came so you could cope. I came to give you the ability to cope. Is that what it said? I came so you could cope. He said, I came so you can have life to the full. Yes. It's time to stop just breathing and start truly living. Yes. Here's a little story I want to tell you as we start to close. There was a man who had a beautiful setting on a mountain, beautiful home, way high, had a breathtaking view. I mean, could see everywhere. And every morning, the sunrise would paint the sky golden pink. It was just gorgeous. The valleys would glow. He could see the valleys. And the birds would begin to sing. It was just beautiful every morning. Matter of fact, people would travel from miles away just to come and stand on his porch, just to be able to see, take a glimpse of what was his. But watch this. Over the years, the man got used to it. Over the years, the man got used to it. He started sleeping later and later, and he told himself, I've seen it before. It'll be there another day. So one morning, as he's asleep, a friend of his ran into the room and said, wake up, wake up, wake up. You've got to come outside. Why? Come outside. You have to see the sunrise. It's incredible. But the man just rolled over and said, not today. I'm tired. Here's the tragedy in this story. It wasn't that he couldn't see the sunrise. The tragedy was that he chose to miss it. Is that sinking in? It wasn't that he couldn't see the sunrise. He made a choice to miss it. Day after day, while life's beauty happened right outside his window, he chose to miss it. So I'm asking the question today as we live life to the fullest. What have we chose to miss? Because we've chose. We made a choice. What have we chose to miss? Many of us are living the same way spiritually as this man. We have access to the presence of God. Access because the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. His spirit is ready to breathe new life into all of us. But we keep hitting the spiritual snooze button. I've seen it before. I've had it before. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And that's not the way you serve God. That's not the way you love God. We miss the very life Jesus died to give us. It's a time now for us to wake up and get all in. This is the last sermon on this series, as a matter of fact. It's time for us to wake up. Time to live fully alive, body, mind, and spirit. Don't just breathe. Truly live. Closing. Jesus didn't die so you could just exist. He died so you could truly, truly, truly be alive. Amen? Oh, I did good today. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Hallelujah. Say with me, all my needs are met through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And I cannot fail because God is with me. He is my source and strength, and he renews me every day. You know what I pray in the morning? I say, Lord, I'm asking you to renew this mortal body. Renew my mind, renew my heart, transform me. Make me better today than I was yesterday. I'm telling you, that's the way I pray. That and another verse that I quote all the time, that I may know him. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. People don't quote that part. They just say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, not the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. Philippians 3:10. Read the last part of that. That means I want to be like him. Then you're going to go all the way. Ushers, I want you to help me. I'm going to receive the Sunday morning tithe and offering. Like I said, next week we'll be off. But don't take that as a license not to come back. Because I'm going to be praying for people. September 7th, remember? It's our Kingdom First Sunday. Now, I'm going to be praying for you today, as a matter of fact. Not in this service, but I'm going to be in my quiet time. I'm going to pray for you because the enemy's trying to stop what we're doing. I can see it at work. Ask me, Bishop, are you despondent? Nope. Are you discouraged? Nope. You know why? Because I know you're here. And as long as you're here, I'm here. If you choose not to be here, then that's my choice. I have to make a choice then. But as long as you are here and you're wanting to hear the Word of God, then we're going to preach the Word of God. So today, I'll put this in for Brother Jimmy. He always had. We're going to give as unto the Lord. You know what the envelopes are. I don't have to tell you over and over. Gray, blue, and red. All has significance to us. There's people we support. If we didn't support them, they couldn't do ministry. You say, Bishop, why would you do so?